Good morning. Let's turn to Psalm 130. Psalm 130, again, a song of ascents. Out of the depths I've cried to you, O Lord. Hear, Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning, indeed more than the watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with him is abundant redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Amen. So Psalm 130, again, right, they're on the rise, they're going up to Jerusalem for one of the feasts, and this psalm deals with forgiveness. It deals with the need that the people of Israel have to be forgiven of their sins. And so it starts off first, out of the depths I've cried to you, O Lord. There's a lot of reasons why we would dig deep into the depths of our soul. It could be trauma, it could be pain, it could be illness. And so there's a need out of these places. We say, oh Lord, out of the depths or out of the deepness of my heart or whatever is going on. But in this case, it's about forgiveness of sins. We forget that the greatest need that mankind has, as we look out into the world, one of the greatest needs, probably the greatest spiritual need that man has is to be forgiven. There's just something so profound about that deep need that each of us have. And so, out of the depths, I cry to you, Lord, hear my voice. Lord, please listen to what I'm saying to you. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications, of my cries, of my continued prayers. And then we're one, if you wonder, okay, what is the psalmist talking about? What's troubling him? What's really on his heart? And then we realize that it's talking about sin. It says, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who can stand? And so verse 3 is using both the covenant name of God, Yahweh, and then the second one is the familiar word of God, which is Adonai. And so he says, right, if you, Yahweh, should mark iniquities, that's his right. And the word marking iniquities or marking our sins means to kind of like you mark, so you kind of set it aside, but it's primarily for punishment. And so, like, if your kids did something and worthy of being disciplined for, you would mark that occasion in your mind, and then probably when you got home or something, that you would render the proper discipline. And so he's saying, so it says, Lord, if you should remember our sins, in other words, you hold these sins so that it will be punished. Oh Lord, Adonai, who can stand? Like, how can we live, under this? But in verse 4, this is probably one of the most powerful, verses in the Psalms. But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I think I know I do. Actually, when I read this and just meditating on it, I was thinking, oh my goodness, how I take God's forgiveness for granted. And I'm not saying how I take his ability to forgive us, we know that, but how we take his willingness to forgive us. I mean, think about this in human terms. There's people that maybe you have wronged, or people like your family members, and all these things, and you say, can you forgive me? And most times they say no. I'm not going to forgive you. Most times people want to hold on to grudges. And there's so much unforgiveness, that's around. I know just even with my wife and I, just in the rare times, I did something. And then we've over the years, we've learned to use more biblical language Instead of just saying, oh, I'm sorry, we felt that at a point in our relationship, that just wasn't sufficient. Like, I'm sorry, oh, okay, it's okay, but it didn't solve kind of the spiritual issue that's going on until we started using the biblical language. And so I would express to my wife, oh, I'm sorry, deal with that. And then I would say, will you forgive me? Using the biblical language. And, you know, every once in a while, my wife would say, no, I don't. And, you know, it's crushing, right? Because you're bearing your soul, you're, you know, and I do that vice versa too. I just said, well, I'm not ready to forgive right now. You know, give me some space, give me some time. And so, and that's humans. I mean, we're married, and eventually we do come to forgiveness. And then I'll tell you, when those words are spoken, yes, I forgive you. Man, something happens in the atmosphere around us and around our hearts. And so, I mean, just think of how many times, you know, people have not forgiven you, that have not wiped away your transgression, you know, the mistakes that you made. And even, you know, your spouses or your parents, they may have said, oh, it's okay, but then they hold this grudge against you. Do you remember your friends that did that? And you clearly made a mistake, and you say, oh, yeah, okay, it's okay, you know, let's move on. But people never move on, and they still hold whatever that is against you. I mean, that's humans, but in God, I mean, think of how amazing this is. We have a God that always forgives us. We have a God that doesn't hold grudges. We have a God that he says, I remember your sins no more, right? I bear it into the deepest sea, as far as the east is from the west. That's how far I remove your transgressions from me. I mean, that's amazing. And with God, there's no delay. You know, God doesn't say, let me think about it. He doesn't say, you don't understand how much you hurt me because of what you've done. When a child comes to the father and with a repentant heart and says, Lord, would you please forgive me? The father says, it's done. You are forgiven. In fact, deeper than forgiveness, he says, I don't even remember what you did. This is a precursor to the doctrine of justification. When we ask God and we forgive our sins, it's you know, not based on our apology, right? Even though that has something to do with our repentance, but it's based on what Jesus Christ has done for us, right? Just as if we had never sinned. That's how God looks at us, because of what Jesus has done. I mean, that's amazing when you think about it, you know, especially when we look at in human relationships. I mean, how many people hold grudges with each other? Right? How many people hold offenses? And as a result, now they walk in the spirit of offense. They're offended by everything and everyone. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, just think about the world right now. Think about all the crazy situations that are taking place. I mean, look at Israel. Look at Hamas, you know, the Islamic Brotherhood. Can you imagine that if forgiveness, you know, repentance and forgiveness was operating, we would have peace in the Middle East? You see how powerful this forgiveness is? I mean, you look at, like in the U.S., you know, Democrats and Republicans. Man, if there was like repentance and forgiveness, wow, it'd be amazing. You know, even in Hong Kong, right, you got the blue and the yellow. Can you imagine if there was repentance and forgiveness? Man, we'd be living, you know, we still are living in a great city, but it would be even greater. And just think of this incredible need that mankind has for forgiveness. Just think of your own relationships. Think of your own family, right? There's always family drama that's there. And if we could operate in forgiveness, repentance, wow, our families would be changed. And so, and in light of what we experience as human beings, like it, with mankind, with one another, this verse 4 becomes so powerful. But there is forgiveness with you. Lord, when I ask, you come. I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. Right? There's a promise of his forgiveness. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning. Now, think how powerful this phrase is. The watchman waits for the morning, but the morning comes every day. Do you understand the imagery that he's saying? A lot of times we tend to focus on the waiting, right? But focus on the morning. The morning comes every single day. In other words, God is faithful. Every single day, the sun rises, the morning. We don't know the exact minute. Every day is a little different. Every season is a little different. But we'll go to sleep tonight, and we will know that we know that we know that tomorrow the morning will rise. And in that same confidence, the psalmist is waiting for the Lord, but the waiting, he knows the morning is coming. But he's still waiting, but he knows the morning is going to come. That's that confidence of faith. I wait for the Lord, but the morning is coming. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. And he concludes, O Israel, hope in the Lord. Why? Because morning is coming. In other words, his faithfulness, his forgiveness is coming to the nation of Israel. It's coming for every person that's there. It's coming for the nation of Israel. For with the Lord, there is loving kindness. And this word, you know, in Hebrew, the most powerful covenantal terminology that exists, you know, is the chesed. And he says, this is the loving kindness. This is like a mixture of God's grace, God's mercy, right? God's kindness, his love, his graciousness, his humility. All this wrapped up in one word. And you heard me teach on this. This word, when they were translating this into English, and the New King James Version was coming out, they didn't quite have an English word to depict his chesed. And so they made up a word, which is this word, loving kindness. And so to the English writers, it just encapsulated everything that has to do about God. And this is the covenant language that God has is with people Israel, and the covenant language that God has with us, right? And for with the Lord, there is chesed, there is loving kindness, mercy, grace, love, kindness, and with him is abundant redemption, right? He redeems us. Redeeming meaning he changes our life. He turns the ugly sin of our lives, and he turns our lives beautiful. He turns beauty from ashes, right? You know, sorrow into joy. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. All of the sins of Israel, and there are many, right? He will redeem Israel. He will turn something that's bad, wickedness, into something that's good. This is God's heart. What a privilege and a joy to truly, truly understand, right, that we have forgiveness in Christ. Don't lose sight of that. Even this morning, I was just so blown away just thinking about that. My goodness. Man, you know, I don't get forgiveness from a lot of people. A lot of people hold grudges. You know what I mean? All these things happen. But with God, he forgives and he holds no grudges. What an incredible blessing. There's a really famous story of John Wesley. And if you know Wesley, the father of the Methodist movement, he basically, he goes to Georgia. I mean, he's an incredibly holy person, but a lot of his own effort, right? He's just a very good person. You know, he fasts a couple times a week, reads the Bible. I mean, just very fanatical about that. And so he goes to the United States on a mission trip, particularly to Georgia, and he wants to convert Native Americans. And so he goes there, and he just fails miserably. And he's on a ship going back to England, and he's kind of lost his faith. But there's a huge storm on the boat. And he's thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to die. And he realizes at that moment he doesn't have assurance of salvation. He realizes that he doesn't know what's going to happen after if he dies, if this ship would perish. I mean, the storm was so bad. And while he's on in his room or somewhere, he hears this noise down in the hull of the ship. And he goes down to the hull of the ship, and he finds all these Christians. These guys were the Moravians. And he found these Moravians, and they were singing. And I mean, they were in the same predicament, right? I mean, you know, they may have died as well, but they were praising and worshiping God. And he turned to one of the leaders and said, what are you guys doing? And the leader basically was expressing, you know, their joy and their faith. And he asked Wesley if he had faith. And, you know, very famous line, he says, I have a fair weather faith that does me no good in a storm. In other words, I can trust God when everything is going well, but as soon as a storm hits, my faith has left me. And so he was so touched by the Moravians. The Moravians, by the way, were the ones that had the 100-year prayer meeting, you know, that went 24/7. I mean, just amazing. They basically were the beginning of the missions movement at the time, as they would send out missionaries all over the world. And so he connects with these Moravians. When he lands into England, he goes to a service, you know, a vesper, a singing service, you know, old school. And he goes on a Wednesday night, and they sing Psalm 130. And as they're singing Psalm 130, and especially verse 4, but there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. And he realized that something happened to him. And he realized, wow, I can have assurance of salvation. I can be forgiven. And that would lead to a day later where he's at the famous Aldersgate, and the Holy Spirit comes upon him, and he says, in his own writings, he says, my heart was strangely warmed. And he got converted, basically, you know, from all of his good works, because of forgiveness. We, every one of us, we have a tremendous need for forgiveness. And we may not get it from human, you know, from our parents. We may not get it from our siblings. You know, we may not get it from our people around us. But we will always get it with God, right? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with him is abundant redemption. Amen. So let's close our eyes. As Rachel comes up to lead us in a song, man, let's praise him. Because he so easily forgives us of our sins. Today, brothers and sisters, if you have done something that you shouldn't have done, you've thought about something that you shouldn't have thought about, anything that fell short of the glory of God, if you earnestly say to the Lord, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus won't say, I don't know, let me think about it. I don't know, let me get back to you. His answer would be, yes, I forgive you. In fact, I remember, I don't even remember what you just did. It had been totally wiped clean from your slate. Let's praise a God who offers us abundant redemption.
Accepted, you are condemned. I'm
You know, obviously, after a devotion like this, if you do have anything that God is convicting you of, it's probably a good time to repent, to go before the Lord and ask Him for forgiveness. He will grant it to you. It'll be immediate. It'll be full. I mean, all-encompassing. And in God's economy, it will be forgotten. Right, that's His gift of redemption to us because of the cross. But more than that, and let's pray for this attitude to permeate our lives and really the world around us. And this world would be totally changed if we would offer forgiveness to one another and receive it. Model God in our lives. Let's praise the Lord who gladly, willfully, quickly forgives His children. Let's pray. Why don't we come together and let's pray. Good morning. Hey, let's pray over Sunday. Let's pray for our Sunday service. Let's pray for the worship. Who's leading worship? Cardia, right? Let's pray for Cardia and her team. Let's pray for SB Kids, right? The youth group. Let's pray for Spin and Spill services. You know, I'm preaching, starting a kind of a new series on revival, and so looking forward to that. So let's just ask God to come and just really minister through our body this Sunday. Let's pray for our retreat coming up. Let's ask God to really bring His anointing. Pray for Pastor Tony. He's coming by himself. You'll see him. He made a video that we'll show this Sunday. You get a little more acquainted with him. Let's pray. He's praying for signs and wonders. He's praying for just a real move of God, a prophecy to flow. I feel like we're going to really, really experience the Lord during this time. And so let's ask God's hand. I also asked Jackie Pollinger to speak one session. I actually saw her this past week, and she said she's quite busy, but she's praying. So, you know, pray that as the Lord wills, He would open that door. But let's just ask God. I know still a lot of people, I think quite a few people haven't signed up yet. And so let's pray that God would really convict them and our whole body would get together and we'd experience God together. Let's pray. Let's pray for baby Anna, for Sam and Fiona's baby. Let's pray that God would continue to do a miracle for her heart that's undersized, the hole that's there as well, and any other issues that she may have in her body. That's all they could do right now. It's really up to the Lord. And so let's pray that God would really intervene in this situation. Let's pray for Addie. Pray that her her kidney would come into full function. You know, she does dialysis every night. Let's just really pray that God would just awaken all of her kidney functions. Let's pray for Isaac. Let's continue to pray for his treatments, that they would go well. Pray for his enlarged heart as a side effect, that he would not miss any of his rounds during this time. And that God would really continue to use this to draw their whole family closer to him. Let's pray for Hazel. Let's pray that God will continue to heal her of her cancer. Let's ask God to really intervene on her behalf. And pray for Andrew and Boaz and Hazel's parents that take care of Boaz. And let's just really ask God to cover her. Any prayer requests? Any of us? Oh, okay, yeah. Well, if you could pray for our daughter, Hannah, right? Pray that the pneumonia is fully gone. She has a chest x-ray today, so hopefully, it'll be positive. Yeah. No, it takes a while. Yeah. So we'll find out from the x-ray. Yeah, she still has a cough and there's, she gets tired easily and things. So, yeah, if you could pray for her. Any other prayer requests from you guys? Seems like First Street House Church, right? A lot of the kids are sick right now. They have cough, huh? Yeah, so they all got infected. So let's pray. Let's pray for God's healing. Any other prayer requests? Yeah, let's pray. Pray to find a good one at a good price. Yeah, awesome. Oh, let's pray. Praise God. Yeah, do you forgive me? We did jiu-jitsu at staff retreat, and I hurt her neck. I cranked her neck. Let's pray for Virginia. Father, we thank you, Lord. I just pray a blessing, Father God, for every person that's here right now. Lord, that you would, Lord, do something amazing, Father God, in their life today. That they would know that you're with them, God. They would feel your presence every moment of this day. And so we're so grateful to just be able to gather together to pray, to seek your face, God. We thank you that you are the God who so readily forgives. God, the poet said to err is human, to forgive divine, God, and it's true. Lord, the ability to forgive that you give to us only comes from you. It only comes when we recognize how forgiven we have been by you. And so teach us to walk in that spirit of forgiveness, God. Lord, thank you. Watch over us, Lord, throughout this weekend. Lord, come, Holy Spirit, and have your way with us, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. If you want, please connect with somebody. Pray together. Maybe the twins, you can pray together.